You are listening to the Glass Cannon Network, the premier source for role-playing game entertainment.
What's going on, everybody? Happy Friday. It's Friday night, and of course, it's time for Chaos Season 2, Episode 15, coming at your face right now. I don't have any banter, so I'm just yucking it up. No, I was preparing for today's session and going over my notes today, which I guess I closed for some reason, but I was like, wow, fuck, I got a lot of notes for this season. And we've got 6 episodes left. Where am I at page-wise? Because I added a bunch of shit today. 196-page Google Doc just for this season. Isn't that insanity?
Is that – you don't have to get too, you know, into the how the sausage is made.
Yeah.
But is that like – is a lot of that copy-pasting from like PDFs? Oh. So like you have their official stuff, or is that just all original?
That's, no, yes, I wish it was all original. No, it's I start with copy pasting,
and then I kind of
rewrite and move shit around and stuff. But I mean, this might be the most the largest file for any one particular like season of a project. But I'm looking at like what could be left for this season, and as the person like behind, you know, kind of pulling the strings, but also I have an idea of where it's going to go, but I'm also. Kind of a viewer, and I'm kind of an audience as well, like trying to see where it's going to go. So basically what I'm trying to say is I'm excited to see how you guys are going to finish this off, but I'm kind of blown away at the size of this and also how much you guys have done already. It's pretty crazy considering that Eagles Grange was 2 episodes and the sidetrack scenario was 4.
Canonical.
Anyways, how's everybody doing? You guys having a good week? It's April now. It's middle of April. If you're watching this, it's probably middle of April for you. It's constantly raining in New York. What is it like on the other side of the country?
Well,
I'm on
I guess
Rob
and I can
today, so.
Rob and I can speak to what it's like in the middle of the country, I guess, because I'm back in Denver. Mm-hmm. And it's sunny, cool.
Yeah, it's nice
and lovely.
Although over the weekend, last weekend, Ross, I don't think you were back yet. Remember, like I feel like on the last episode, we were like, "What's Denver's problem?" That natural disaster wise, and I was like, "Nothing. We're great." Mm-hmm. That whole weekend was like a high wind warning.
Oh yeah,
oh, no.
And like thousands of people lost power. It was crazy. It was very gusty and blustery, and it sounded like I was on a boat when I was trying to go to sleep.
Oh, that's wild. Yeah. My friends who are staying in the same building that we're staying in, which is a 55 story high rise in downtown Denver, said that like when the big gusts came in the middle of the night, it felt like the whole building was going to topple over as it was like getting slammed by these intense winds. And apparently people's deck furniture got blown off their balconies and was just swirling around downtown.
Oh, all right. So last night I'm in bed and I hear what I think is like a loud sound, but I'm like half asleep. I'm like, I'll deal with it later. And it was really windy last night. I go out to take my son to school today and we have this set of patio furniture, and one of the chairs, and these are massive fucking chairs, one of them has been blown off of the deck, like into our pergola. And I'm like, how strong that wind had to be, but why just one? And then I started thinking, I think somebody came into my backyard and just threw one of my chairs.
That's the obvious choice.
And then I said, why? What is their motive? What do they got against me or my chair? Wouldn't the other one blow? Why wouldn't this, like, I had this, like, batch of, it was like a Christmas decoration that, like, fucking holly or something that was left out, and I just keep forgetting to throw it away. It was laying on top of this bin. That didn't blow anywhere. That weighs less than a pound. This thing has to weigh, like, 45 pounds. Completely blown off the deck. So was it the wind, or do I need to look at my camera?
Usually the most simple
answer is what it is.
And that Occam's like, razor.
Sounds like the most simple answer is someone came into your backyard.
Yes.
Threw it.
With a vendetta.
Thank you. Yeah. Kate.
I think it's time for some install some cameras.
You know, I have cameras, and now I'm going to go back and I'm going to look and see if anything pinked.
Check the footage.
Obviously, you guys a raccoon on steroids.
You guys have bears
a little bit
there?
Of a roid rage. Yeah.
I think they're a bear. They're cougars.
Oh my God.
Hey, happy hour. Oh.
No, there are, somebody said like, we saw a bobcat in our yard, and, I haven't seen a bobcat, but there's deer around and, raccoons. I do see on my Ring camera now and again, these two fucking raccoons. I think they're brothers and they just love terrorizing my trash. No one else's trash. So I've got cinder blocks that I put on there. They've worked out a system to push the cinder blocks off and get at my trash. Anyways, maybe it's those assholes.
Maybe you just got the good trash, Troy.
Yeah. I do have the good trash. They love dirty baby diapers.
Picture them pulling up with a tiny tow truck and like hitching it to the deck chair, just like driving it through the pergola.
Hit them up, move them out.
I love this beefy raccoon gang theory.
Yeah, right? That, it just seems like what they would do, be like, oh, you want to put some cinder blocks in your trash? Well, take that deck chair. And then I come up.
That's part of Incredibles 2 when the raccoon and the baby like have a fucking feud. They like go at it.
Yeah. Damn right. Anyways. Bear wouldn't be able to grab this, but a raccoon's got thumbs, baby.
Raccoons with a tow truck.
Have you ever
That's
done
why they always want to show you their hands.
That's right. Yeah.
Have you ever met a bear in the wild?
Yes.
You have? And were you, did you do what you run zigzag? What are you supposed to do? Throw a rock at it? Like, I don't know.
Well, I've seen them at a great distance. Where my family lives in coastal North Carolina, there are black bears, which are some of the smaller, you know, like in terms of bears, pretty small. But I've done hikes in places where grizzly bears are, and you're supposed to like clap at intervals as you take your hike because loud noises are supposed to sort of startle them and get them away, even though they could bisect you with just a flick of the wrist. Yeah. But I did at Yosemite, just kind of like take a corner and like, whoa, there's one like right there. And it was totally unperturbed, just kind of like, waddling through the forest. And it just kind of made its way away without paying us any heed at all.
Oh man.
But yeah, if it had been threatening in any way, that would have been coitons for yours truly.
The one time that I ever did any kind of backpacking hike trip, like I just, my buddies and I went on like a 5-day fucking, I was out of my element. And day one, we're walking through like a ravine and we just look down and there's a bear with two cubs. So that's even worse if you get anywhere near them. Then we didn't pace it out right, or some fucking blog was like, you can do this in a cinch, it's easy. And then we were like, we're dying. And we got to like day four. And if we were going to make it to our car by nightfall on the next day, we had to camp at a spot that was not like an official spot. It was just like where we had to stop. And we got to this valley. It was beautiful. It looked like we were in the, you know, fucking Middle Earth. We looked down and there's bear shit everywhere. It's just like a minefield. And there's nobody else camping there. And we had to do the thing where we take the trash and like throw it over a tree branch and like pull it up. Like there wasn't even shit to like hide it in, like, you know, like the bear box things. And I spent all night terrified. Of course, we were on drugs, but I spent all night terrified because we ate all the food because we had to like, we're like, well, we better eat all this freeze dried bolognese. And so my tent mate fucking housed like Ross with a bowl of cereal, destroyed this bag of freeze dried thing. And all night, slept like a baby, but was farting the entire time. And every fart smelled exactly like the meal we just ate.
Ew.
And I, again, drugs, was not sleeping. And I was like, the bear is going to smell this. Bears are going to smell this smell, which smells like a dinner. And every twig snap, every rock pebble fall, I spent the entire night assuming we were dead men. Just
what a way to go.
Thanks a lot, Tony. You fucking...
Lured by the smell of bolognese farts. They were torn to shreds.
I feel like that story had everything. You know, it had farts, it had bears.
It really did, yeah.
It had freeze-dried pasta, trash.
That'll be a TikTok clip. Yeah, but bear shit's no joke. I went camping for the first time with my wife, then girlfriend, 10, 12 years ago. And remember we were like, let's walk around the lake. And I had like a trail map and I thought we could just get right back around and realized a couple hours in, holy shit, we got to go back. And it started getting dark and I didn't know like if we were going to make it out because I couldn't figure out, there was no like trail markers and you couldn't see them in the dark. Anyways, as I'm walking around, I step in bear shit and it's got to be like a yardstick wide bear shit. We're going to die. Speaking of going to die, let's get into tonight's episode. We've talked about the weather. We've talked about bears. It's time to play some Call of Cthulhu. Last week, my goodness, last week was a bit of a reprieve from our Eagles Grange days and our time in Lesser Edale. We're back on track. We're back, not in London, but we're back kind of investigating leads that you've discovered fairly early in this season, one of which is Henson Manufacturing in Derby. It was Margot and Carter that broke into the Penhu Foundation. Something smelled a little funky there. Break into the Penhu Foundation, find a secret room that you had to depress the eyes of a sarcophagus, opened up a secret room. You go downstairs, and among the things that you find in there is a receipt for a safe that was built in to this place, Henson Manufacturing. So you're like, well, it's a lead. We'll follow up on it. You go there posing as safe inspectors or like the guys who installed it and you brought your wives. Really kind of went off the rails.
Hearing you say that back to us out loud makes it sound ridiculous.
It does sound ridiculous. We, of course, brought our wives. You want to check the safe, and it's a very far-fetched story. However, you roll like extreme successes, and you meet with the foreman, basically. I want to make sure I'm using the right name here. Frank Marshall, and he doesn't want to let you in at all, but you convince him to let you in. You come in, he's cleared out all the workers, and you go to check out the safe, and Carter rolls an extreme success. I think you used luck to turn it into extreme to show him how easily you can pick the lock. And his demeanor completely changes. He shuts the safe and escorts you out. Says, I need to talk to my boss. This is, thank you for your time. Please get the fuck out of here.
That's where the episode ended, I think.
That's
where we should pick it up.
That would have been a good ending, but no, instead, in classic Mystery Squad fashion, you decide to come back and break in. Of course, the one little hinge to this situation is since you roused Frank Marshall's fears, he's now put at least a third security guard on watch. So now you have at least three guards to contend with as opposed to the two that you heard about when you first approached Henson Manufacturing. One other thing I forgot to mention is you followed the workers to the local pub and in talking to them got the sense that they're working on a secret government project. That's what they told you. They seem to believe that. And so you've taken that information and you're trying to break in there, see what is going on inside Henson Manufacturing. You come up to the gate in the middle of the night. Carter goes to roll a locksmith roll, fails it. You push the roll and you fumble.
Succeeded.
The push.
Oh, in fumbling, my notes, it was succeeded.
No. Fumbling the push. Never good. Never good.
By like a point. I think it was like at a 48 in locksmith and rolled like a 96 or whatever.
Yeah, it's one thing to fail a push roll. That's bad. Bad things happen. But a fumble on top of that, this is very bad. So what you see is the guy that's walking outside, his flashlight turns towards you, and he starts scrambling towards you. And that is where we start today's episode. And in fact, we will start today's episode as a result of this failed push, this fumbled push in initiative. Margot, you have the highest dexterity in the situation here. What do you do? You see Carter.
Let's roll for luck. Let's just do a quick roll.
Oh, yeah. Do your luck roll. I don't know if it's going to help you.
Let's do that. Oh, you never know.
Just forget the fucking luck roll.
I passed it. I got a hard success. I got rolled 3 under 11. That sucks.
Brutal.
Well,
yep.
That happened to me last time, I think.
No luck for Desmond.
Hard success on a luck.
So you spent it all and you haven't been able to get any back.
10 luck, baby.
10 luck for Carter.
Oh, wow.
Where was that?
I'm sitting on 70 luck. Let's fucking...
Holy moly.
All right, so, yeah, I'm going to throw you right into initiative here because I want to see how you handle this. I think this guy is coming towards you. He's got the flashlight. He's running towards this locked gate. And, Margo, you have the highest dex in this situation.
Is the gate... Let me ask this real quick. The fence that this gate is in, is it like a wall or is it like a chain-link fence that...
It's a wall, and this is a metal gate. So this is the side gate that you guys
So that's the only part you can actually see through.
Yeah.
So is me sitting there going like fumbling around with the thing. So has he seen anybody else? We don't know.
You don't know. It's just coming towards you. There's blinding light in your eyes.
All we know is that he's racing toward us with the speed and aggression of a hungry bear after some tempting bolognese.
Smelling symbolic farts.
Faerun
starts clapping.
So there is a chance that this person might have seen Carter because there's like a separation in the fence a bit, or in the gate, you said?
Yeah, it's like a metal gate with a lock on it.
I don't want to break anything, Troy. But in terms of this initiative rolls and all this stuff, but is it possible for Carter to talk to the squad right now before having not rolled an initiative yet or anything?
What do you want to say?
I think he only saw me just like hide.
I mean, obviously, I feel like Margo wants to run and hide, but then thinking about like leaving one of you out there would suck. Like, what's the point of one of us hides if we can't? Are we all up there? Is it just Margo and Carter?
The way I envisioned it, and you can talk me out of it, is that you're all huddling around.
Yeah,
Carter.
I thought we were all there. Fiddling.
Yeah, I think we're all in a little
squad. Maybe I could just get him to chase me, and then you guys can go in. Like, this is the distraction. I figured it out.
Or do I see anything around? Because like it's like a smooth wall. Is there anything around that we can just like run quickly to and hide behind?
I mean, if we split the gate, then he might not be able to see.
Maybe
like, pressing ourselves against the wall.
Or. We choose violence.
Either way, I can distract him.
Yeah, we take out the shotguns.
We're not first in the initiative order. Go ahead. Maybe the shotgun
Margo,
comes out.
It's panic mode here. You see everything was like a controlled situation. You walk up there, and he starts picking. All of a sudden, the light is streaming through the gate, and you know the jig is about to be up. So in this moment, what does Margo do?
Yeah, naturally, I think she looks around to be like, is there anywhere for us to run to right now?
Yeah, you could cross the street. You could run down the end of the wall. And if he comes unlocking the gate, you know, everyone else is going to be there. You could just bolt down the street and around the corner. You could cross the street, hide behind a mailbox. There's plenty of places to run.
And how fast do I think everyone else is? Like, initiative-wise, you know? I can't remember all of your initiatives.
We just met, so.
I feel like she... I know, right? I feel like she turns and is like, downstairs, there, so someone go across the street. We'll split up. Go across the street. I'm going to run down the side of the wall. And, like, she's, like, running away as she's saying that. Everyone split up. Go run.
All right, so you just bolt, like, along the wall?
Yeah, I'm going to run, like, down the wall and try to, like, go around it, staying in the shadows.
All right.
With my gun out. I have my gun out.
You have your gun out.
No, I don't.
Okay, because I was going to say, you can pull your shotgun out and start running, or run, and then when you get to your destination, arm yourself. What do you want to do?
Yeah, I'm going to wait, because, like, if they find me with the shotgun out, they might be like, oh, my
suspicious.
God, we're going to murder her.
I'm just taking a nightly walk with my shotgun.
Find a little lady without a gun, seemingly, might be better. So no gun yet.
Great. I wish I could just tell you what's going on behind the scenes here. But suffice it to say, the guy that's running at you has the next highest dex. And what he's going to do is he runs up to the fence, and as you see this flashlight come into view, he sees you, Carter. He sees your half face. Now, whether he puts together that he saw you earlier today or not, we'll leave it to my imagination at this point. But what he's going to do is attempt a combat maneuver to grab your arm between the grates in the fence, to like reach through and try and grab your arm. So your option is to do your own maneuver, dodge, or fight back.
All right. Yeah, I'm going to fight back.
You're going to fight back? Okay. And how? Explain to me how you're going to fight back. You're going to punch him, stab him, pistol
He's
weapon?
He's reaching through?
He's reaching through to try and grab your wrist.
So like, I want
to
grab his arm and go and bring it down.
Yeah.
On the
All right,
bar.
So Brutal. You give me a brawl roll. I give you a brawl roll. Highest success inflicts damage. If I succeed and you fail, then you're going to take damage.
I got a hard success.
And I got a regular success. All right, so he reaches through and you just like slip him, grab his arm, and smash down with it.
Yeah.
All right, go ahead and give me some damage. Your damage is going to be 1d3 plus your damage bonus, we'll say.
Oh, God. This has been a while on the brawl.
Yeah, I don't even know what your DB is. I cannot believe this succeeded.
All of you have one except for me.
DB is 1d4.
No. Your damage bonus is 1d4? Yeah, that makes sense.
Yeah, that's mine's 1d4.
So it's right, so it's a d3 for the damage plus a d4?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. That's a 1 on that, plus 2, 3 damage.
3 points of damage. And he's just like, ah! There's someone at the gate! There's someone at the gate! And now it is Desmond's turn with his 61 dexterity. You have a 60 dexterity, but I have it listed as a 61 for my own reason.
All right, this guy's got his arm still. Carter still has him.
Oh yeah, smashed him right down.
Smashed him right down. His arm is bent horribly, and he's trying to scream and get attention. Well, mm-hmm. I don't like that. I'd like to silence him. So. I'm going to reach in and I'm going to come around Carter's shoulder, clap my hand over his mouth, and try to silence him.
Okay. So you want to try and, like, grab him and put your hand around his mouth, like, pull him into the fence so that he can't get away as well?
That's right. I'm pulling him even closer, like, almost like knocking his head against the bars. Like,
easy there, Polly. If you don't move, no shouting, no one, you won't get hurt no more.
All right, and he'll just attempt to sock you as you do that. So you roll a brawl, and I'll roll a brawl.
Brawl on brawl. Here we go.
And I failed.
I also failed.
Okay, all right. So he just keeps yelling. He tries to hit you and misses. You're both like fumbling at the gate. You're sticking your hands through to try and grab him. Yeah, a little slap fight, and he keeps yelling, "Get out here! Get out here!
You slippery little bastard!"
You guys, at that moment, hear a noise coming from one of the buildings, like a door opening up. And now it's Feyruz's turn.
Sorry, my internet cut out for a second. So there's what happened with Desmond real quick.
All right, so Desmond tried to... Oh, good, rest.
I reached in to try to silence the fellow who's had his arm snapped by Carter.
Did it work?
No, I'm struggling with him. Yeah. Short answer, no. we're flailing and slapping around at each other, but he's still yelling, and a door is just open inside. Someone has heard him and heard the commotion.
And then how far away are they coming around the side? Because maybe I can go take the other guy out.
Well, there's a locked gate, so you can't get through.
Oh, so there's no... Okay.
Yeah, you hear somewhere on the premises, you heard a door open, and you would assume someone rushing towards you.
Okay, but it's... So the door opened on the other side of the gate. It's not like a building behind us that's not...
Yeah,
no, compound.
It's a building within the compound.
Got it, okay. I'm going to take, like... I want to, like, take, like, the butt of my knife and just kind of, like, whack him on top of the head, maybe knock him out.
Okay, so a little boom, a little blunt force damage. All right,
Do I get any sort of advantage since he's like already kind of taken hits on the brawl, or no?
No, not okay. not yet. Until something like drastically changes, you wouldn't get the bonus die. However, his attempt to fight back will take a penalty die because this is the second time he's doing
it
this round.
I got a success. With 2 points of damage.
All right, so I rolled a 4, which would be an extreme success, and a 94, which is a failure. So you succeeded. Go ahead and give me... So what is your knife damage?
It says 1d4 plus 2 plus damage bonus, but I guess on roll 20 it calculates it for you.
Okay, but you're not using the sharp end, so tell me what the damage is and I'll just kind of work it out.
It says 2 damage.
2 damage, all right, so...
Yeah.
Great. All right, so you hit him on the head, you know... It doesn't really do that. Maybe you just kind of graze him, like, right behind the ear. He's taking some damage, but this poor sap is just, he's still standing and he's still yelling, and now he's got blood coming out of his forehead. Let's see whose turn it is now. It is Carter's turn. So, Carter, you grabbed this guy while you're in your attempt to fight back, slammed his arm. Mm-hmm. Desmond tries to grab him. Fairuz comes over. It's a very clumsy fight right now. And you can see, since you're up in front in the distance, that there is another figure running towards you.
Okay. It might be time to go. But we're here. Carter will be like, get your fucking hands out of the way. And I want to reach through and grab, like, interlace my hands behind his head and smash him into the... bars.
Okay, so you want a straight up combat maneuver, like brawl, to like grab him and boom, and really inflict some serious damage here. All right, he will feebly attempt to fight back and will have no chance of doing so. In fact, all you need to do is succeed and you'll do damage.
Okay, I need to figure out how to get back to the important part of this. Skills. Great. It's what I thought it was. Okay.
I don't like that face.
Oh, no. Wow. It's quite the... those of you 99? Listening at home, Rob has fallen into a swoon. Okay, that's wild.
Oh, a 99. And what is your brawl skill?
It's 77, so it's high.
All right, so it's not a fumble, but it's definitely a failure. Good God.
This fucking gate is cursed. This is my third 90s roll.
Did you say you had like 70 luck?
I can't spend it on a thing.
Make it rain. Oh, that's right.
Oh, wait. Even if I could, that's a lot. I don't know.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah.
Here's the thing. You know, Michael in the chat, I always mess this up. I'm not supposed to take a penalty die. You're supposed to get a bonus die when you attack. So... basically, I've already, because I'm outnumbered by the opposition, I'm at a disadvantage. So once a character's either fought back or dodged in the present combat round, all subsequent melee attacks on them are made with one bonus die. So, you should have got a bonus die.
Me? Kurt?
Yes. So you have another, basically, keep
got
your
chance.
So
I can roll a number.
I can roll a something nine?
A something nine, yeah.
Watch this shit.
Fairuz, you hit
39,
so.
Baby.
39. There you go.
It's a regular.
Nice.
All right, so regular success.
Michael. Thank you, Michael. I need your Venmo.
All right, so give me the damage.
Okay, so this is
going to be your brawl damage, which I think is 1d3 plus your DP.
Okay. Fuck it. This dude is getting. Oh, five.
5 points of damage. All right, so you grab his head, boom, slam it against the gate, and he just crumbles to the ground.
Just shut up.
As he crumbles down, another light is rushing towards you guys.
Okay, I want to just try something.
Okay.
If I may.
Is it an action?
We can just keep letting them come up like a video game cheat.
We can just slowly build a pile of them down. But he was yelling... I realize there's maybe a flash. You tell me if the guard that's approaching is in a position where he could clearly see what's going on, then what I'm in the process of suggesting here is ridiculous, and I will retract it even before I say it. But if it's the kind of thing where like he's only heard what's going on, what would Desmond presume from his vantage point?
Well, Desmond would presume from his vantage point that this guy is about to run up and see his buddy unconscious in front of the gate.
Okay, but nobody hasn't seen it quite yet.
Yeah, I don't think... it's hard to know whether or not he saw the altercation.
Okay.
All he heard was, "No, man, somebody's trying to break in!"
Question, did the another round of initiative start? Or another round?
Yeah, so...
I didn't go.
You did go at the beginning of the round.
At the beginning, but everyone else is going twice now.
Nope. Desmond, but Ross is just sort of weighing in here.
Now we go. If you have something, please,
go for it. Carter already went.
No, I only did my fight back thing. I think I'm last in the order because my dad.
Okay. Yeah, you are last in the order.
Yeah, now I want to snake you, Kate, if you've got something you want to do.
That, like, I was skipped, and I was like, wait, I have an idea.
But. Yeah, no, sorry. I was just answering Ross's question here. But, Desmond, you have a chance to think about this because we do go to the top of round two, and it is Margo's turn. Margo, you ran, and they all stayed there, and just you can see
and
them
I hear
like,
bones
around
cracking and yelling. Right. So I guess I ran like all the way down the wall to the corner. Do I see like the entrance of the place?
If you ran to the front of the building, there is another gate that's locked and closed, and that was closed even when you guys came up during the day. That's for cars and horse-drawn carts to get into. You know, you could try and lockpick your way into that and come around the other side.
Yeah, because I'm thinking, like, if they're, unintentionally distracting everyone to be running that way, it's like, should I just take a chance with my probably poor lockpicking skills or whatever?
Or you could try and climb the wall.
Yeah, or climb the wall. Let me see. Well,
all of a sudden, this thing's just got crazy.
Versus,
it's going exactly like how we planned.
My climb.
You can also take your shotgun and blow the lock off, but that's going to be loud.
My climb is 30 times better than my locksmith.
What is it, a 33?
So you've got some
luck. You got to always can push the roll. All right, so this is very interesting. They're all fumbling with one guy. They've taken one of the guards out. Another one is running. You know there's at least a third one out there. Mm-hmm. You come around. You see they haven't followed you. You want to hop the wall?
I think I want to try to jump the wall.
Okay.
And, like, if this dies down, somehow get them in. I don't know. I'm not thinking that far into the future.
Right.
I'm going to jump the wall.
Pure adrenaline. All right, give me
a... We tried to think into the future. Look what happened.
Give me a climb check.
All right.
And, hey, if you succeed on this, you get to check that climb box.
God, it was actually lower than I thought it was.
Hey, all right.
Oh, shit. All right, so that's a fail. I've got 20, I rolled a 56, and I've got 31 luck. So if my math is correct, I'm going to need to try to push this because I can't spend luck to make it a pass.
Right.
All right.
I could be wrong. I think you've failed every pushed roll since we started this game.
I think you're wrong. That sounds wrong.
Just putting that out there. Now, this is very dangerous. You've got a 20 climb?
I have a 20. I have a one lock pick.
Yeah. 20 climb is tricky, and you can't use luck on a push. So
I know, and I can't use luck now because it's not going to make it a success. So I feel like she's trying to climb the wall, and she's like, I don't know, slipping. It's like not a regular like rock climbing wall. There's nothing to grab onto, so maybe she like takes a beat and like tries to find somewhere to stick her feet into, keeping three appendages attached at all time. Like
okay.
And tries to
gonna parkour up the
tries to push the climb roll.
Push that roll.
No, that's what.
All right.
I don't know if it's a fumble though.
What did you roll?
83.
No, it has to be 96 to 100 if it's under 50. However, you did fail a push roll. So what happens is like you jump up and you start to get like halfway up the wall and you slip, you fall, and you twist your ankle. So you take 1 point of damage, and also anything you do now with movement is, until you have chance to heal, is going to require a penalty die. So you've got a twisted ankle. 1 point of damage.
Like movement as in like maybe trying to run away?
Trying to climb again. Anything that we'll kind of deal with it as it comes. But yeah, you've got it. Your ankle is fucked up. So it's more
falls,
like a role playing thing.
Rolls her ankle and is like, fuck, don't shit. Maybe
son
you hear in the distance a German.
Sure, Margo's fine.
German like, fuck.
I was rooting for you. That was going to be cool.
Yeah.
All right. So that's your turn. At that point, Carter and Desmond and Feyruz, you're still at the gate there. You look and you see the door to the workshop fly open. And a third guy comes out. And he's like looking around. The flashlight is going left and right. And that's all that happens. Desmond, another guy is running towards you, but he's not at the gate yet. He's about halfway between that shed, the large shed that was the building that was emanating a lot of heat, and the gate where you guys are at.
man. Okay. So I think, yeah, so last thing I saw is Carter like, kang! Now this guy's like, slumps. I'm like, yes! Look down the street, see Margo like topple off the wall and like crack right away.
What is she doing?
It's like, damn it! And then see this light coming towards us. I was, well, before this other door opened, I was going to try to throw this guy off, be like, nothing's going on. I think it's that would be a real stretch at this point.
We're just delivering a pizza!
Uh-huh. golly. Three guards, and we have the sense that three might be all there is.
One room in the yard, you saw when you guys were scoping out from the building across the street, you saw one flashlight moving around one big building, another flashlight, like, bouncing off the walls of another big building. You know there's at least three, and now all three that you know of have made themselves known. You also know there's information in there. You just get the sense, why have a safe like that? What is in that safe? Mm-hmm. You may not have a better chance than this, but there are people bearing down on you, and a gate that kind of separates both you and the enemy. It's a very, very precarious situation here.
All right. I mean, I think there's a... I will maybe lean over to my new compatriots and be like, you think you can find a way to get in if I hold him here?
Oh, yeah, of course.
If you let him go, I will pinion this guy against the gate with my hands around and then shout to the flashlight coming towards us. Easy there, copper. I got this fella's neck in my hand. You come one step closer. It's curtains for this lad.
Wow. Didn't think I'd have to roleplay here. All right, so it is this next guy's turn. So he just kind of like comes up, dum-dum-dum-dum, the light's getting larger, 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 and brighter, and he sees you, and he's like, I don't want to do your accent. Oh, no. What's the fun? So.
I said one step
slow down,
closer.
Slow down, slow down, slow down, slow down. Listen, nobody needs to get hurt here. Wait a minute. Aren't you the inspectors that were here earlier? Yes, of course, I recognize his face anywhere, points at Carter. What have you done? What's going on here?
Okay. Oh, shit, they made us.
they made us. And those are your wives!
yeah, that's my wife.
You bring them everywhere with you, don't you? Even to your heists. What's going on here?
You're not the one asking the questions here, boyo. We're the ones not just asking questions, but making orders. You just put that flashlight down and whatever weapons else you got in here, this fella's out for it. You think I'm fucking joking?
He's Irish, man. You better watch out. Temper and all.
Look at the state of his arm. Unless you like that to be the state of his other one in his neck as well. You best do what I say.
He says you don't have the guts. You don't have the guts to do it.
You don't know who you're playing with, boyo. you just sit it down nice and easy. You think I won't? You think after what I've seen, there's nothing I won't do?
And I'm going to try to convince him of this. Not with intimidate, but Troy, if you'll allow me, but with my arts and craft skill of acting.
Yeah!
The journalist profession requires that you take acting arts and crafts.
Oh my god, that's actually kind of brilliant. I love it.
Oh my god. All right.
I spent 5 years in a slammer. I've seen things you wouldn't believe.
Carter's like, wait, what?
I've broken off bigger men than you, boyo. You think I can't snap each and every one of his fingers? I'll send him on a cripple if you don't. Set it down nice and easy. And maybe you'll unlock this gate while you're at it.
Okay. He's got a knife out. Give me your acting role.
The role of a lifetime.
Wait, what? It's a luck?
Okay, it's a failure, but I got luck, baby. I got luck. The luck of the Irish. Here we go. Here we go. Yeah, so let me just quickly do the math.
Wow. Okay. The roll of a lifetime.
Okay. I spend the luck to make it a regular success.
All right. Wow. Okay. So he's got his knife at the ready, flashlight in the other hand. And he drops the knife. He's like, all right.
There. See, now we can be reasonable.
What does that mean to you?
What does what mean to me?
Being reasonable. What does that mean to you? We've got a bit of a situation here now, don't we?
Yes, I'm afraid we do. Seems that we got a bit of a standoff here. So why don't you just come right up here to the gate? Nice and easy now.
He takes a couple steps forward in the darkness, the light getting brighter on you, spilling out onto the street.
And I may be eyeing my friends nearby, hoping that they can maybe pounce on this fella, unless he's made them as well.
Yeah, he sees like Carter there.
He's already talked shit to me. Yeah,
right. Might see Feyruz, but he certainly doesn't see Margo.
Does the guard I'm holding, what does he have on him in the way of accoutrement? Like, it's not a policeman. It's not like, I mean, in a perfect world, this guy's got like.
It looks like he has like a billy club. Kind of thing tied to his belt buckle, like swinging from his belt buckle, and he's got a knife, but he's not coming, he's still keeping a bit of a distance between you and him, and he wants to know, like, what's the plan here? You've got one of my men, but I'm safe back here. I've seen you. I know you're up to something. I yell to my man over there, who's on his way. You'll be in big trouble. So what's the plan? What's the end game here?
We have to finish our inspection, sir.
Nice. I don't think you're safe, inspectors. Wouldn't threaten to kill one of my men if you were. You are trespassing. What do you want?
We just want in. We want to look about the place. Now that seems reasonable, don't you think? We're not looking to rifle nothing. We're just looking to have a little walk around, eh? Then everybody goes home safe and sound and in one piece. Unless you want to play the hero.
It's not going to happen. My job is to keep people out. So why don't you drop that man there?
Seems to me that your job just had a little bit of a contingency now. Seems to me that keeping people out extends so far as the safety of your personnel, don't it?
Guy behind him is like, what's going on up there, Charlie?
It's all fine, isn't it? Nothing to see here.
I'm not sure yet. Seems we've got some trouble. Listen, I don't know what it is you're after, but you're not coming in here. Now you let my man go. Or you kill him. There is a locked gate that separates me from you. You're not getting in.
Are we still in like an initiative situation, or did everything just
Please,
kind of break out?
Please, if other people
out?
Want to weigh in,
it's kind of free for me, you know. But you know, we would go to the other guy. The other guy comes up, dip, and the guy puts his hands up and holds, okay? And so now you've got two of these guards flashing, and the other guy's like, hey, what's going on here? Hey, what happened to whatever the guy's name is who's down on the ground? What's happening here? And the guy explains, we've got a bit of a standoff. They've threatened to kill Jim. They're the ones that were here inspecting earlier, but they're no inspectors. They're trying to get in here.
You don't know that.
And he's like, should I go call Mr. Marshall?
No one's calling anybody. Not as if, unless you want Jim to see the sun come up.
Feyruz, you got that gun.
I know. When he says, like, it's like, oh, you know, is that a threat? She, like, pulls out her gun, and she said, well, that's a promise.
they back up, and then run towards the building. And okay. Now it's Feyruz's turn.
Okay, so we still have this lock.
Still got hapless Jim.
And well, Jim is, I think, subdued probably by.
I think he's knocked out.
Yeah.
Does he have keys?
Yeah. Ooh. Does he have keys?
Ooh. I'm not even happy to do a luck roll. Of course he has keys on them.
Great.
A luck roll. Oh.
I reach into his pocket and my one hand on his neck. I pass the keys back to you.
It's probably not going to open. I think that lock's broken. That's why I couldn't pick it. It's a fake lock.
Yes, that's probably what it is. And as Feyruz will attempt to unlock this gate.
All right. So just give me a luck roll to see how fast you find the key.
Okay. Who would that be? Me rifling the guys?
Just because you know
me? Oh no! Yeah. You're making me roll. You know what? God damn it! You know I have a low luck.
Just want to see how long it takes.
I mean, you need to give me time to limp back over there. All right. Well, that was a failure. I rolled a 36 versus my 11. So what am I fumbling about still?
No, I'm going to say you can unlock the gate, but that's your turn.
Okay, that's fine. Oh, yeah, that's fine.
All right, so you find the key, unlock the gate. That's your turn. Now it's your turn, Carter. The gate is unlocked. Jim is unconscious, and the two guys are running back towards the building.
Is there...
And you didn't see guns on them unless they have them in jackets.
I want to look around and see if there's telephone lines to cut so they can't call. If they're running back to call Mr. Marshall...
Interesting. There are telephone poles. You saw them earlier. I'm not going to have your roll of spot hidden. And they run directly to that main building, the one that you walked through that had the office and the safe.
Yeah, I want to fucking snap them.
Right, so standing
they must
outside.
Go up the pole. I don't have to like climb the pole, right? They like there's like a line that goes up the pole.
Yeah, this is interesting. Let me quickly look up 1920s telephone wiring and how it
it's
works.
It's all just hands with strings attached.
It's like a box, a fuse box.
Oh, man.
No, it's a cool enough idea that I want you to be able to accomplish it, but I want to make sure it's a little bit difficult. So you stay
That's
on the...
That's a counterintuitive sentence, sir.
Staying on the perimeter of the building rather than rushing in, you find a telephone pole and you want to try and sever these wires.
Yeah.
Now, I imagine the difficulty here is like even knowing what you're cutting and not like electrocuting yourself. So you give me what you think a relevant skill here is. It doesn't have to be climb. It's just a skill here to like know what to cut. Electrical repair or whatever the... I think of all the random
skills. Yeah, mechanical repairs. Not. I mean, I feel like, look, I've burgled in the past.
Yeah, you've cut your share of telephone wires.
Mm-hmm.
Let me see. I'm going to look at the skills too.
Yeah, I mean, all the ones
I just
that
feel it
makes
like
sense
it,
are shitty. So I can roll
history.
A
history.
Yeah.
The history of mechanical repair doesn't really make sense.
Electrical repair machine. Is also...
Yeah, it could be that it's just not a good roll, in which case I'll just have you roll a luck roll to see if you can pull it off.
Okay,
yeah,
whatever you
if
want.
There's no, if there's nothing else that you can that we can come up with, then let's just see a luck roll to see if it actually works.
Okay.
Because like if I was outside of my house right now and I was like, I'm going to... cut my power. I wouldn't have any fucking idea what to cut without killing myself.
Right, right. So just to be clear, because I feel like they're separate things.
Yeah.
I'm not looking to cut the power, though that's
right,
cool.
Just, you're looking to cut
just
the telephone.
Line so they can't call out for help.
That's your, you know, where I can't think of a relevant role, that's your classic luck roll here.
All right. A hard success, 35 under 70.
All right, so you see the what you would assume is the telephone pole, wires leading directly into the building, and you snip them.
No, I pull out one of these brand new knives. I bought all these knives.
Okay,
come on,
great.
Betsy.
I was only going to electrocute you on a fumble anyways. All right, so
great.
Carter runs out there. We come to the top of round three. Margo, it's your turn. Margo, I don't even know how much you know what's going on
right
over here. But if you ran around, I guess, I don't know. You tell me what you want to do, and I'll tell you if it sounds crazy.
It seems like maybe Desmond saw me fall, so I got maybe to, like, the corner.
Yeah.
And maybe I heard the commotion of yelling.
I think you could have easily heard the...
Yeah.
The metal gate opening.
And then, I don't know, maybe I look over and I see Carter, like, are you climbing a telephone pole?
I don't think so. I hope not. Because
what is he up to now?
Carter.
Oh, Carter. Realizing that I can't lock pick. I have no skill in that at all. And I just tried to climb and I failed. So it was either like blow off my shotgun over here to try to distract them, but they... I can't see them. I don't know what they're doing. But I see my friends, like, opening the door and figuring stuff out. And they're not worried or being maimed. So I'm going to limp back towards them.
Okay.
And be like, is it fine to come back? What's happening?
All right. So you come back. You see a guy laying on the ground. The gate has swung open. And Carter's over by the telephone pole down the street, like, fucking around with wires. Abrams has her gun out.
I tried to climb, and I fell. It's fine, though. I just walk it off. Are we going inside?
You also see guys running towards the building.
Should we chase them?
See, that's a good idea.
Okay.
And I will yes. run pell-mell after those guards.
Limp as fast as I can, I guess, at this point. With
all right, so Margo and Desmond's intention is to pursue. One of these guards will get to go before Desmond. So basically, Margo, you start limping your way in, and the guy who came out of the second building...
Instead of chasing them, I'm going to go in... Are they going into the workshop where the safe is? Oh, okay, yeah, that's where I want to go.
Okay. All right, so you start limply following. The guy who is kind of in the back, who's closer to the building, he runs into the workshop. And now it's Desmond's turn. Desmond, you just bolting for the workshop?
Yes. I'm in pursuit of those guys. I want to try to get to them before they can lock a door behind them.
All right, so Desmond, you just sprint across the yard, and I would say that between you and the workshop is this other guard. So you don't want to run past him. You have the initiative to try and tackle him, to do whatever you want to him.
Well, I got
one guy's running inside, one's outside.
Yeah. I got that truncheon from the guy that we subdued. So
okay.
I'm like rushing up from behind, raising that club to sock him before he
Shillelagh!
Can
Shillelagh! Okay. I love this. Give yourself a
black
bonus
and tan medicine. Here we go. Roll combat here?
Yeah, go ahead. Do a brawl roll. Give yourself a bonus die. He's not even watching you. He's running towards the building. You're coming up from behind. And just
looked up the club stats. Whoa. Here we go.
He's melee. It's just a melee.
Oh! Yeah. But I can roll my 10s because I got that sweet. Yes. I rolled a 15 under 55.
Nice. That's definitely hard. I don't believe it's... Oh, no.
Oh
11
my
would be extreme. So that's a hard success, and you hit him with a truncheon. All right, so give me the damage on that.
Okay, so the nightstick, the base damage is 1d6 plus damage bonus. So here that comes, 1d6 plus 1d4. So that's 7 points of damage.
Seven points of damage. So you just come up from behind and swallop this dude. And I'm going to say the force of the blow takes him down. And he's still, like, with it, but he's just like, fuck. You smash this guy on the back of the head. You pull the club back, and it's just got, like, viscera and blood dripping on it.
A clump of hair.
Damn.
Gray matter.
Do I have to roll sanity for that?
No, it's all happening so fast. Maybe this will hit you later.
I'm charged up.
Yeah. Margo sees us and is like, what the fuck? I thought this kid was a journalist.
And now it's his turn. And so he gets to his feet and he just tries to, like, lash out with his knife at you. So do you want to attempt to dodge this knife, or do you want to fight back with the club?
Oh, amazing. I love it.
Smash
this all happening.
Yeah, I'm absolutely. I think we're getting a taste. This fight is sort of revealing to me more about the character of Desmond Mahoney. And he's, I'm not, I'm not playing into stereotypes, but it turns out he's rather hot-blooded and he's got a bit of a temper. So, when that knife comes out, he's like, "Oh, I don't think so, boyo." And he goes to parry the blade and try to knock it out of his hand. So he's fighting back.
All right. So do you want to? Is that what you want to do? Combat maneuver to knock the knife out of his hand, or do you want to try and fight back? Hit him with the club.
Fight back.
Hit him with the club. Okay. All right. So you roll your brawl. I'll roll mine.
Here we go.
All right, I have a regular success.
I, too, have a regular success.
All right, and since I was the attacker, I do damage.
God.
So he slices out and kind of like, I imagine it's one of these, like, from the Beat It video, just like slices through, cuts you open in the chest, just like the Beat It video when the guy's stomach opens it. That's the director's cut. And you're going to take... Okay, shouldn't be too much damage, but it will be damage 1d6. I rolled a 1 on a 1d6 plus my damage bonus, which for this guy is a d4. Ooh. So you will take a total of 4 points of damage.
Ah, okay.
So he slices open your stomach.
That's not great.
Not awesome.
Not great. We are in it now. This is a legit melee, and it is Feyruz's turn.
Other than this guy, like, who's... Is there anybody else? Did they just run off?
One guy ran into the building, and one guy is in a fisticuffs with your new buddy Desmond.
I'm going to run into the building and try to chase this other guy down.
Just run past him and be like, "You got this one! You got this, Desmond!"
Desmond seems like he's got it under control.
All right, I love it.
He just got slashed with a knife.
All right, yeah. So Feyruz, you run into the building with the gun drawn. It's dark. There are no windows. Pitch black. Little moonlight coming in from behind you. You saw this guy run in here. You can't see him. What do?
I would like to stealth and, like, hide. But even if it's, like, up against a wall, just to, like, not make any more noise. Just to, like, assess what's going on.
All right, so you come in. If this guy can see you, you're just a silhouette, you know, with the moonlight behind you. Your first instinct is to try and hide. All right, so go ahead and give me a stealth roll.
I failed.
Okay. Now, you just feel. Tell me what you
push this.
Yeah. What do you think you do?
I would say, like, I would just drop, so at least he can't. If I'm, like, silhouetted, at least he won't be able to.
Yeah. So ideally, you want to, like, slide in and stay up. But your pushed roll is to really just hit the ground because you think to yourself, this guy's watching.
Yeah.
All right. Go ahead and give me that pushed stealth
roll. Oh, I failed worse. I didn't fumble, thankfully. I was almost there. I failed.
I know what the result of the pushed roll is.
Of course you do.
It is now Carter's turn. Really picture this scene now. You've got Margot's just like limping her way into the yard. Vaughn is in a club knife battle in the middle of this thing.
Nobody's making it out unscathed in this one.
So the guy ran into the building. Feyruz hits the deck and is alone in there with a guy that has a knife and a club. Carter, what do you do?
I want to take out this guy that's engaged with Desmond, especially since I feel like he's on the way into the building anyway.
Yeah. And you do see Desmond, like, clutching his stomach.
Yeah, that's not a great image.
Blood coming out of his fingers.
So, yeah, Carter wants to come up. Did this guy that he's who's got his knife drawn, does he also have a club, like, hanging off his thing?
He does have a club hanging off his pants,
So I'd love to, like, run up. I'd probably, like, as I'm running, I, like, run past Margo because she's limping or whatever. Yeah. And I just see her, like, "The fuck happened to you?" And then keep going. And then I'd love to run up and, like, swipe the club off the guy and then fucking bash him the back of the head.
The old swipe club bash head? All right.
Yeah.
He's going to attempt to fight back with his knife, as all enemies do. Give me your bra roll.
Now, wait, is this an outnumbered situation?
And is this the second time he's fighting back?
He has not fought back this round. His round that he attacked, this round, he did the attack. This is his first fight back, so he doesn't have to, you don't get your bonus roll.
Fine. Whatever. Let me roll this brawl. It's a regular success.
I rolled an extreme success.
Oh,
so you come up, it was a tricky maneuver, and you're trying to like fiddle with the club on his belt. I say you get it, and you go to swing, but as the extra time that it took you to try and relieve him of his weapon, he just guts you. He sticks the knife right in.
God.
Oh, man.
These guys aren't even like mythos creatures. This is these fucking derps.
You take 5 points of damage. Oh, wait, that's an impaling weapon.
So?
Did he roll like an extreme?
Oh my god, I think it's max damage plus max damage bonus, which would be...
No. Because of the extreme success?
Because of an extreme success. Max plus max DB. Let me just
on
make
the fight
absolutely...
back?
Yeah, if with an extreme success on an impaling weapon, that would be a total of 10 points of damage.
Man.
How many hit points does Carter have?
11.
Fuck.
We'll see you right after this break.
Fuck!
I thought we'd already be back in London.
We're not even through, like, we're barely through the game.
We're not finishing the game. We
just got in.
It's amazing.
What the hell?
Amazing.
I was saying,
we're not finishing
England
in 20 episodes. It's not happening.
Episode 16.
We fought a werewolf, like, 2 days ago. And now one guy with a knife is going to take us out?
The
indignity.
We took a break, and two reasons I want to take a break. One, that was a great cliffy, and then two, I just want to check this, because when you get an extreme success on an impaling weapon, which can be, I believe guns are impaling weapons, and knives, pointed weapons, you do max damage, plus max damage bonus. But Michael very, very wisely went to page 103 of the Keeper Handbook. Greater damage, that's called greater damage, is inflicted if the attacker gains an extreme level of success in their attack. This only occurs if the attack is made on a character's turn in the dex order, not when fighting back. So instead of taking 10 points of damage, which I believe you only have 10 hit points.
So yeah, I was wrong when I said 11. Michael had already bumped up the one I thought I had missed, so... I was at 10, exactly. I am at 10.
That was a roll away from possible permadeath. Jesus. You know, when you go to zero, you roll to see if you stay alive, and if you fail that check, you die. Instead, you take 5 points of damage, which, while being half of your current total, is not half of your full total. If I had rolled a point more, you would have fallen to the ground and possibly gone unconscious.
Just keep Venmoing Michael. Keep saving my life.
This is insanity. I mean, what you guys have been through, and now these thugs are going to be the ones
this
that
fucking
end
flesh
you.
Pit, nice. Ghoul fight, yeah. Like what the
yeah.
Dragons?
These guys ain't even ghoul tainted, and
lizard
they take us out.
Kings, oh, like, what?
Guys got a butter knife.
Fuck out of here. What the hell?
What are they trying to protect? Why
this
are they so vicious?
Lives. I don't give a shit anymore.
No, like, just want to get out.
No, they
get?
Need to die. We need to kill them. We need to use their insides as a... we need to do some sort of ceremony.
This is what we get, because every other time we've just chosen violence right away, and everybody in chat is like, oh my god, you would never do that in Call of Cthulhu because you'd go down so fast. And the one time we're like trying to like not, this is what happened.
Yeah. We tried to stealth.
I'm going to choose violence every single fucking time now.
Folks, we tried.
We tried our best. Okay? You saw it.
I blame myself. We escalated it too fast.
I feel like my fumble on the push has carried through everything that we've done from this.
Oh, yeah.
From every role has basically been tainted.
Well, don't worry. Feyruz is inside, and she's really stealthy. That worked out. Oh, no.
Yeah. Nothing to possibly go wrong.
All right, so Carter just gets stabbed.
Yeah.
We're both stabbed. So Margot has a twisted ankle, and an anvil is about to fall on.
Oh, my God. Okay.
All right.
It is the top of round 4. and it is Margot's turn. As Margot is hobbling from the back, I mean, it just—I love the way that the failure on that pushed roll is now carried over into the drama of the scene. You're like, so cool. You see these two dudes grappling with one guy, and they're both bleeding from their stomachs.
I'm seeing this happen because, like, I think that as she's approaching, she's like, Desmond obviously has this. He just like manhandled already, like one of the guards. And then, like, Carter's on his way. I'm going to run past and, like, into the building with Feyruz. But then she sees this guy fighting back and stabbing both of them.
Jackie Chan.
So as she's running up, instead of running past, she's going to try to help. She's going to flip her shotgun around and try to butt his head.
Okay.
With all it. Right. Nice.
All right, so it would be a brawl roll. As far as I'm concerned,
you can fucking blow this dude away at this point.
I feel like she's not there.
Kate wants to do that.
It's probably too loud. Yeah, it's probably too loud.
Kate wants to do that. I don't think Margot wants to do that. All right, so
give me a brawl check here. He is going to attempt to fight back. Now, he can't, right?
He can't.
You're going to get a bonus die. Mm-hmm. That's really meant for the present combat round. Even though we're starting a new combat round, I'm still going to give it to you because there's just a lot going on here. So it's like you get the bonus die.
Otherwise, he'd be like some superhuman guard.
Yeah. Three of you on one.
No, that's a fail.
Did you roll the bonus die?
Oh, no, I didn't roll the bonus die. Oh, that's a pass. It's a regular success. 35 under 41.
Okay. All right. So give me... It wouldn't be the damage on the shotgun, obviously. So give me 1d3 plus your damage bonus, if you have any.
I do not have damage bonus. So I guess...
Slight.
Like 1, 2 is 1, 2, 3 is 2.
Yeah.
I'm already confusing myself. Oh, I rolled a 6, so it's a 3.
Three points of damage.
Aim for the dent in his head.
Yeah, does it knock him out?
No.
Fuck.
Come on.
Yes, the strongest one is the one that the three of you are grappling with.
Really?
Yes. Oh. And now we go into the workshop.
Oh, no.
As you're laying on the floor, you just hear just like a ringtone.
Because he tried to call.
So creepy. But
would you hear?
That's how I want to do it.
Okay. Chat is on fire right now.
Hey, switchboard. Yeah.
They didn't have ringtones in the 1920s.
Hello.
And you're laying on the ground, and you hear like. All of a sudden, the guy lunges at you out of the darkness and tries to grab you in like a chokehold on the ground. So he like jumps on top of you. And the penalty for your failed push is he gets a bonus die to try to do so. Now you can dodge, like roll out of the way before he jumps on you, or you can attempt to fight back. But keep in mind, he's going to get a bonus die. He's got a good chance of grabbing you.
I'm gonna shoot at him. I got my gun in my hand. I'm choosing violence. I'm done with the whole, like, let's zip ties. We're not invented yet. I'm going to shoot him.
Let me just check to make sure. I feel like you can't fight back with a gun, but I could be wrong.
I think it's more of like you get to, like, hit him with a gun.
Not with that attitude.
Yeah, if you want to follow the weed, dude.
I just want to make sure.
I love your energy today.
Yeah. Nora's pissed. Yeah, it's straight.
We fought a werewolf.
Let me just make absolutely sure, Akers. This is very, very hairy where you guys are, and I'm also stalling. See if Michael writes in the chat.
This is just so creepy.
Michael, earn your Venmo.
Man.
You alone in that, like, building. Yeah. Oh.
Clash in the shadowy workshop.
Yeah, we're looking for the rest.
You're right.
Yeah. I'm gonna lean that way just to make sure, but you can still fight back. You just can't shoot your gun at him.
Okay.
Until it's your turn in the initiative.
Okay.
You could try and, like, pistol whip as he's trying to put his arms on you.
What's my brawling? What's my... Yeah, I'm brawling. What was that thing that you just said that I could do?
Just like, as he's trying to get you, try and, like, smack him in the mouth with the butt end of your pistol.
I will... Yeah, sure. Okay. Let's do that. Because right. My brawl is, like, double my dodge, so...
That's why I always fight back, because I've
fighting every time. Let's...
Give me that brawl. I mean, you now see, though, the danger in fighting back.
Okay, it
gives
on.
Them a chance.
Let me switch back to...
Okay, I have rolled my dice.
Fuck. Shit.
And I, once again, have failed.
I, with a bonus die, have also failed.
Oh, sick!
So he goes to, like, lunge at you, and he hits the ground. Now you're both on the ground. It's Desmond's turn. Desmond, you, Carter, and Margot, Hobley McGee, are standing next to this guy who has taken damage, but also damaged you and Carter. You've got blood, your hands covered in blood where you've been holding your sides. You now see Carter is just like...
Same exact spot, but on the other side.
You fucking bastard, you. And it's personal. And I'm going to smash him. I'm going to smash him.
Smash him.
Okay, give yourself a bonus die.
Great. Let's see how I do.
And okay. I failed the fight back.
That's a 34 under 55.
34 under 55. So I failed the fight back. Give me the damage on the club, which is 1d3 plus 1. DB.
Oh, it's 1d3 plus 1?
Excuse me, 1d6 plus DB.
All right, here we go. All right, that's another 5 points of damage.
Come on.
And he tries to swing out at you with the knife again to, like, give you another cut right where your cut is, but he overextends himself and turns his back to you, and you clobber him over the head, and he goes down.
Is he quivering?
Ooh. He's just...
Is one of his legs just going?
Yeah, he's down on the ground. He's out.
Let's take 5 minutes to talk about how... permanently damaged this person.
he's twitching. He's twitching.
Step on his wrist and take that knife and
you prick. Just another tool of management.
Fucking. And I'll metagame with you for a second. You have taken him below zero, so you murdered him. He is dead. Ooh. Whereas the other guy at the
good.
Gate maybe is unconscious. This guy is dead.
We're going to have to get you a teardrop tattoo.
Your first.
That's right.
Have we killed a Mickey Mahoney guy yet?
First time you ever plugged somebody?
What are you talking about? No, he's not. He can't be dead. It was him or me.
Sure.
No time to talk about this now. And I'm gonna try to shake this feeling off as I rush toward the door of the workshop. And try to follow where Feyruz has led.
Feyruz, it is your turn. You are laying on the ground. You've got the gun in your hand. He's laying on the ground. It's a little bit of a skirmish. You've got your gun. What do you do?
I'm shooting him. I'm shooting him.
Point blank, just to make it awful for you, give yourself a penalty die because it's dark.
That's uncalled for.
That's just rude. It's just rude. I just have to up the stakes here. This is so brutal.
What are you talking about?
let me see. I'm doing my
firing in the dark.
Well, wait, firearm. Why is that? No. This can't be right.
You don't have a 10 in firearms, do you?
No, I don't have a 10 in firearms. What did I just...
Would that be a handgun?
Oh, I did the wrong thing. Yeah, I did the wrong thing. Here it is. Hard success.
There we go.
Ba-boom! All right, give me that damage. You're both laying on the ground. As you're running towards the building, Desmond, with Carter and Margo behind, all of you hear this boom sound.
Jesus.
And, like, lights up in there.
Okay. Shit! So it is a 1d6. Two points
damage. Boom. It's dark.
Not
you
great.
Hit him in the kneecap. It is now Carter's turn. Carter, boom! You hear the guy that stabbed you laying on the ground.
That's got
Feyruz just shot.
That's got to be Feyruz's gun. I know that. I know that gun blast anywhere.
What if he took the gun from her?
Yeah.
Yeah, I'll start running.
You are running positive Feyruz is dead.
yeah, I'm gonna run. I'm gonna run in. I don't know.
Get
how much
in there. It's pitch dark. You see two bodies on the ground. You want to just fire at one of them, and I'll roll a die and see who you hit.
No!
Well, I don't have a gun, so hold on. I like where you're going.
So
with
I'm just ramping up the tension.
I would like to club on the one who's clearly a man. Is that possible? Okay.
Yeah. Yeah, I think so. Thank you.
He's on the ground.
Give a moment for your eyes to adjust and club the man.
My eye.
Club him in the knee that I shot.
I'm gonna bring the club down on this dude.
Okay. Yeah, I'm gonna say that you can see.
31 under 77. I got a heart.
Hell yeah.
31 under 77. Now, I'm gonna fight back.
Can I wait? So, should I decide whether or not to spend luck to guarantee an extreme on this fucking thing?
No, it's okay. I failed. You're okay. Good. All right. So, give me the club damage D6 plus your damage bonus. Need a big one here.
How's 7 points? Do ya?
7 points. It's pretty darn good.
Brutal.
Wow.
So just boom, hit this guy's head.
What the fuck? This is for your friend.
Oh, you don't know. You don't know what you're doing! You don't know what you're doing! It's Desmond's turn. Top of the next round, it's Margot's turn. It's a 5-rounder!
Oh my god, yeah. Wow. So she face-butted the guy with the gun, and now he's dead because of Desmond, and
dead.
Here's the boom go off. Doesn't have time to think about this dead guy. Heard a gun go off in the building. No servers is in there. Runs into the building.
Okay. Runs into the building. You see Carter standing over a guy. It's very dark. You can see it looks like Feyruz is laying on the ground. Feyruz has a gun. Carter's standing over the body of this guy. He's like, "You don't know what you're doing. You don't know what you're doing." What do you do?
I go up to him with my gun and I point it at his stomach point blank, and I'm like, "Open the safe." Opens the safe.
I don't have the key.
You're done. All your friends, they're dead.
They're not my friends. I don't have the key.
Your coworkers, who cares? They're dead. Open the safe.
He's making a point to say they're not his friends. He just wants you to know.
Those are my friends.
I don't know them.
I mean, they're work friends. It's not exactly the same. You
know? I don't agree with
their
politics.
It's complicated.
Mr. Marshall has the key. Mr. Marshall has the key.
Where's the Marshall?
Mr. Marshall, he's at home. I tried to call him, but the phone's not working.
Then you tried. Then you're useless. What? Is what you're saying? You're useless. We don't need you.
You don't know what you're up against.
I don't think you know what you're up against. And she whacks him in the head with the shotgun.
Just like,
I'm not going to shotgun it point blank.
All right, just give me a
real person.
Give me a bra roll for posterity's sake.
Okay, just got my nails done, so it's hard to grab the dice.
Success, and you just. Boom. Give me the damage to see if you kill him or knock him out. I'm not going to fight back.
It was a D3?
You said to... Yeah, because you don't have any DB.
That would be 2 points.
Okay. Boom. You knock him unconscious. He's still breathing. And he is out.
Tie him up, just in case.
Desmond comes running in. Rest of you tie him up. What do you want to do here? You're out of combat.
I think we got to take... Let's just take all three... bodies and tie them together and put them in the shed.
Yes.
Are you guys okay?
No!
You were stabbed?
Slash me.
Oh.
I got it. Mr. Telenast here, I think, got pierced. But
oh,
good.
Yeah. The good news is he got me right where the monster got me, so it's just... It's gonna be one scar.
Oh. Yeah. How did we do so poorly in that?
I don't know. I'm so mad. After everything we've seen, I can't believe those fucking guys nearly killed me.
Things went sideways very quickly.
I feel like while we're doing this, maybe just I want to try first aid on one of you that's the worst off. Maybe?
That was going to be a question, too, is if I could first... Oh, wait, we already talked about if you could first aid yourself, right? You can't?
Yeah, you can.
You can.
We allowed it last time. So because up to two of you can roll, and if one of you succeeds, you get the point back.
Okay.
And you got to do it within an hour of being injured. Okay. So, yeah, you can cure leg wounds here. And someone may want to do it on Vaughn as well.
Yeah, let's...
Or Desmond.
Desmond. Son of a
too
pickle.
Too soon. All right, I go up to Carter. I'm like, gosh, damn it, it's the same spot again. And I'm trying to help you.
It's the same spot, but did you hear about how the guy tried to call, but then he couldn't? So, in a way...
Oh, yes, this was you, right?
I did that. That's while you were... Were you jumping over the fence? What was going on?
I tried. I don't know. I'm not very good at jumping. You did something really cool, though. That was cool.
I appreciate that. Thank you. Okay.
Ooh, success. 20 under... It's like 30-something for my...
I got 18 under 38.
Nice.
All right, so you get a hit point back. Staunch the wound.
And, while all that's happening, I will bring in the fellows from outside...
Did you need a first aid roll?
I'm not as bad off as a.
Don't be humble. It's a point's a point. If we were talking numerically.
Yes. Well, if you think you can do something, and I'll lift up my shirt, and you can see I'm slashed across the stomach.
She's like trying to apply pressure. Whatever. Where did you go to acting school? That was phenomenal. Part of a production company.
I'm doing ruses and running bluffs and the like is all par for the course. Working for the scoop. I've done a few workshops. Some drop ins.
Don't you be humble.
Did you act your way out of set? What?
There was a lot you missed.
Manner speaking.
And I did succeed on that first aid roll.
You really have to.
Great.
The point is to focus on exactly where the person has been in what I like to call the moment before. And once you have that sort of in your mind, it sort of carries you through. If you have a sense of your objective and your characters want... never mind. We'll... did I get a point back?
Yes, yeah. You did.
Yeah.
Hooray.
Yep, Feyruz.
Thank you, thank you, thank you. Thank you, Mr. Braun. And
she stitched up your washboard abs.
Oh yeah, he's young and virile. He's super cut. And
Carter's just literally trying to fix his posture.
We all just suck it in a little.
Stand up a little straighter.
It's like 20. Exactly. Isn't he 20 something?
Yeah, I'm 23, I think.
Yeah,
that's how I was at 23.
Nobody
of course.
Likes you.
Yeah.
Stripped. wiry. And if I'm going to immediately go over to one of those workbenches that we kind of sneak peeked at during the day when we walk through and just throw the tarp off.
So wait, sorry. Just because we're blazing. Did you say you pulled the two people inside?
Yes.
You pulled them into the workshop area.
Or I guess we wanted to do shit.
Well, it doesn't matter. I mean, as long as they're just out of... The only thing is if we think somebody else is in this building is going to stumble upon them versus putting them in this shed where no one...
Margo and Feyruz saw a little shed, thought it'd be a good hiding place if they wanted to.
But it was also giving off some sort of heat, the shed.
There's another larger building, which I also referred to as a shed, that's giving off some heat. But you guys are in the workshop.
This is great. Great initiative, Des. Let's get these guys into the shed.
Very well. I hope this exertion isn't bad for the wound, but it's fine. And we'll tug them in there and stash them behind the closed doors of the shed, and Desmond's head is spinning, seeing just how limp the person who he clubbed is. It was him or me, right? It was him or me.
Oh, yeah. Look, and you'll get used to this the more you hang out with us. Should we? I don't want to, belabor anything. Should we tie these people together just in case the two living people wake up? With some cord or something.
Absolutely.
I don't know what's around.
I don't want them.
Do you tie them to the dead body?
Yes.
Moseying around.
That's exactly what we do.
Grotesque. And we do that. So if all that's been done, No.
Let's get to the. Let's find.
Glad we know all that's taken care of. Can we look at the workbench?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So you want to pull off the tarps? Well, as it is, there are no tarps.
Oh.
The workbench is fully exposed. It's dark in here. Do you want to try and light it up, or you want to just use your flashlights?
Now we have and we have extras now, thanks to the guards. So yes, we'll use flashlights.
All right, so you use your flashlights and you start looking around the table. There's an office off to the side. And Mr. Marshall's office, you'd assume there's the big safe in the back, but you're looking at the table, which was conspicuously covered after you tricked Mr. Marshall into letting you examine this large safe. There are lots of tools laying about. There are like some chemicals, like resins, acids, and you can smell that sort of acrid smell coming from the chemicals on like a cupboard near the workbenches. But on the tables themselves, it's just like scraps of whatever they were working on. It seems like nothing on the tables that has been left out overnight is of import. It's just a real mishmash of some vials, some metal scraps, some resin, wood shavings. Like, it's just left
just a hodgepodge.
A hodgepodge. You start thinking, like, all right, well, whatever they were working on, they must have put somewhere else.
Put it away somewhere.
Right. Yeah.
Master Telenast.
Huh?
You picked the lock of that monster safe.
I did. Thank
earlier
you for,
today.
Uh-huh.
You think you can do the honors again?
Do it again.
Carter's standing a little straighter now than Margo could potentially witness this.
It's like, I heard it was really cool.
Was pretty cool. I've been mostly cool today, except for the time where I fucked up so bad we almost died. Yeah, I mean, I'd love to try to do this safe again, Troy. I don't know if since I've already cracked it once, if I got some kind of...
I'm going to give you a bonus die. Yeah, you did crack it once already. You know the mechanism, and you also know it's a really hard roll. So I'm going to give you the bonus die. Let's see what happens. You do have luck.
Yes. I walk up to it. I'm like, hello again, sweetie. Let's talk. Let's talk. And I start working on it. Okay, that's not going to work. Let me do the bonus. It was a 47 under 48.
That's your best.
That's my best. If you're telling me I gotta hit extreme a second time, mm-hmm. then I'll spend the luck and do it.
Okay.
Got a high luck.
How much luck is that? 40 something.
I gotta extreme is. Nine. What do we say? Nine would be 45, but 10 is too much. So 9. So I'd have to spend.
Do 40. It. You've got like 70 something.
You've got 70.
Yeah. 40. Yeah. 39. Yeah. Wait. Okay. Fuck. I'm all fucked up.
It's worth it.
All right. So you're gonna spend it. I have it.
I'll calculate it on my own because I can't do math, especially when anyone's watching me.
Okay. You open up this enormous walk-in safe. And there are a bunch of like components in there. Do you have any sort of mechanical or engineering skill, or any of you, to make heads or tails of it?
I'll give it a whirl. I don't. I mean, I got 10.
I'm curious, like, what your background
some,
and skills are.
Some mechanical and electrical repair. I don't see engineering on here.
Yeah, engineering, yeah. Physics, science.
Oh, science.
Basically, skills that were relevant. And I'm not even saying you need to roll them, but just to know, like, if you can make even basic heads or tails of this. Science, engineering, physics, or mechanical repair.
I think that's a no.
I only
for
got
Margo.
10 points in.
Yeah, I'll try mechanical repair again, just for the fuck of it.
Okay, to try and make heads or tails of it.
What's a fumble?
If you have under 50. 96 to 100 is a fumble.
Yeah, I fumbled my science. My mechanical.
No.
Fumbled mechanical repair.
I don't understand how anything works.
Well, what I'll say is, like, maybe you pick up one of the components to look at it and you drop it and it breaks.
Okay, cool.
Can you say component? Him, like, cuts me for a hit point, I was going to lose my mind.
You lose 10 hit points.
And this is a component that's in the safe?
Yeah, one of these components, he kind of like, or maybe if you don't pick it up, because I don't want to drive your character, you, as you're staring at these things.
I think Carter would pick it up for sure.
Or you brush up against it, it falls, and like you, a piece of it falls out. You're like, I think I broke it.
Maybe if we don't know what's
Can we just try? Can we, like, even if we have like low, can we just
Yeah, that's what
like,
I just did.
It.
I just, the only problem is I fumbled.
I'll just try.
All right, I'm going to try.
Before we fumble again, potentially. Oh, you did?
Yeah, I had a 9.
She got it! She got a 9 under 10.
9 under 10.
On roll 20, rolls a 9 under 10 on mechanical repair.
Gonna just fill happened. In that dot right there.
Wow.
Under yeah, there you 10. Go. Get a little dot.
Hey, all right.
Yeah, little dot action.
All right, so none of you have any engineering background. So at first look, all of these devices or components don't look like anything special to you. Feyruz... I don't know. Where do you think you get this skill? Was your dad
just
a gearhead?
From her background in like cryptology, her whole brain is finding how the puzzle pieces fit.
Okay.
And so even if she doesn't like have like the vocabulary to explain what it is, like in mechanical terms, her brain kind of understands how this like rudimentary like as a puzzle piece would fit into this situation.
All right. Here's how I'm gonna rock this out. Like you look at this stuff, it doesn't make any sense to you. However, in your background in studying artifacts and studying stuff that's recovered from archaeological digs or whatnot, I like to think that maybe you have an eye for the age of things. Mm-hmm. And you could see like, well, that's a Sumerian from blah 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 BC, and that one you can just eyeball and you know that that's 1,000 years older than that one. You just kind of have a sense of that. Well, in looking at these devices and components or that don't seem to connect at all or whatever they are, the one thing that jumps out at you is that it looks like a mix of very new parts and then very old parts. Like the sort of everything falls into one of two categories: something that looks like outlandishly new and weird, and then something that looks almost ancient and rudimentary in its design.
And she explains this as like, "Hear me out."
And these,
so some
these
of it is older, old.
The
of
older it's not pieces.
Old, I'm gonna say it's not old. Like, oh, that's dusty old. It just looks like something
archaic.
That was made. Yeah,
so it was
yeah.
like something yeah. that was made recently, but to look and resemble something that has an old style or
yeah.
right. And then the other stuff is like so dizzyingly weird. It looks like new, I guess. Much newer in comparison.
Masaur, do you have your camera on you? That you
I was going to say, if I don't know if we're going to try to take any of this, but I can at least, if you shine your flashlights at it, I can take yes. a picture so we can study it later or bring it to someone.
Bring it to an expert.
Right. So yeah, if you guys all shine your flashlights, she'll take a photo mm-hmm. of it.
For sure.
Yeah, maybe if you know somebody that is well-versed yeah. in this, you could go and
maybe a couple
get their opinion.
Of them that look particularly odd, we, like, take a closer photo of.
I think and we could also, look, we're yeah. taking them. There's no like, covering up our tracks here. This is
yeah. Are they takeable? Are they, like, hand-holdable?
I mean, Desmond flew yeah, off how? From the fucking handle and killed a guy.
To take all of them would be hard, but you certainly could pocket a bunch of them or throw some in a sack. There's sacks of grain out in the workshop. You could dump that and just start loading up sacks.
Yeah, fuck it. Let's do it.
Grab a few.
All right.
And
we already shot people. We might as well. Like,
yeah. You've already murdered people and yeah. tied
we,
the dead body to
theft.
The living body.
Yeah. So we'll take. Theft so and this. And the safe is just full of all these like odd, misshapen yeah. mechanical components,
like shelves.
What do you?
It's a walk-in thing, and every part of the shelf is full of these little components.
And looking at that, and once we've got pictures, I would like to go to Marshall's desk.
Yeah, I was going to say, let's get to the office.
Yeah. What sort of paperwork and correspondence
head into the office.
Got.
It'd be great if we could find some blueprints or whatever.
Yeah, because Fraser's is just like, well, what do you suppose?
You don't know.
What do you suppose these do that it's so important that they'd be locked up in this safe?
Yes, why put
is this
the
what they're
pieces?
Fabricating here? What? It doesn't make any sense to me. This looks like madness.
Yeah, you're looking at it like some of the older pieces don't even look like mechanical pieces. They look like fossilized rocks, but they were clearly fabricated next to like doohickeys that are so strange.
Does it look like they were trying to attempt to recreate, like they kept trying to recreate the same thing over and over again?
No, they're all different. They're definitely all different. Some of them are like there's multiple versions of each one. It's very deliberate, but very, very strange.
Walk me back, Troy. When we first entered the in the daytime, wasn't there something like it seemed like they were covering up the manufacturing of something?
Yeah. Like, so you putting two and two together, it seems like maybe they're working on these things. And they were in mid-work when they brought you in to check out the safe. So they covered up what they were working on because he didn't want you guys to see it, and then probably uncovered it. And at the end of the day, they put the stuff in the safe and went home.
I wonder what this is that they're recreating or trying to create. There must be something in... There must be some
rifle through his shit.
Instructions. Yes, something. Rifle it's through his shit.
I don't see how this could be the military contract that they're talking about. This is... very peculiar. The fact that these are based on ancient designs, like you say, I mean, that does sound like your friend at the Penhue Foundation and why the connection exists.
I think that's what the workers were told, was that it was government. It's
has to be a lie, isn't it? There's, unless the government is in some way involved. And what do we see in the desk?
Yeah.
All right, so you head into the office. And you start looking around. You see a couple more of those shipping labels for the Randolph Shipping Company, Port Darwin, Northern Territory, Dominion of Australia, like ready to go labels. Okay. You see blueprints, stacks of blueprints of dizzyingly complicated schematics. Many of which, as you shine flashlights on them, are annotated in like a tiny spidery handwriting that's almost impossible to read. Some of them have these strange, maybe borderline occult sigils drawn in the margins of the blueprints. Any sort of free space on the blueprints, you'll see these like symbols. Which don't seem to bear any relation to the schematic themselves.
Do they bear resemblance to any of the things we'd seen before? Like
when you look at them, they don't ring. Nothing rings a bell. Like, maybe that's something you saw a lot in the walls of the pyramid in Peru. But like, there, nothing jumps out at you. Like, I know what that is. It just, maybe you're having like a little PTSD at the same time. Like, have I seen that symbol? I've definitely seen, maybe I've read that in Africa's Dark Sex. Nothing jumps out at you. It's just very eerie. Why is that on the margins of these blueprints? You also see that they are, what's the word I'm looking for here? They are, all the blueprints are signed by the Pale Viper.
Oh, what? What?
It's like whoever drew the tiny handwriting notes and maybe drew these symbols as well.
It's my Discord name.
Blueprint is sailed, signed the Pale Viper. Someone calling themselves the Pale Viper.
That's pretty awesome. That's pretty metal. I like that.
It is.
You also see a note on the desk that is dated last week. The note says, "The first crate has been received. I have a truck coming this week to deliver it to Chowdhury's warehouse down at the Limehouse docks. Send the second crate directly to Limehouse. The Ivory Wind will take it from there." Signed, E.G.
Edward Gavigan?
Edward Gavigan.
Is he the Ivory Wind?
The first crate has been received.
Ivory Wind sounds like a ship to me.
Though that's also a great nickname.
The Ivory Wind and the Pale Viper. Well, I'd very much like to see this, Mr. Chowdhury.
Maybe they're not building anything here, but they're making the parts and then sending it to Australia and... I don't know.
Yeah.
Is there anything else in the room?
You
spot hidden or no?
You find a, there is a locked drawer, bottom desk drawer.
Carter.
Huh?
Locked, yeah, you say.
This is hard to open. Yep. It needs help.
Yeah, right. So he's so cocky. He's got a 48. It's not even that, like.
I know.
So all right, you want me to open this?
Yes, can you just get this open? Hurry. She's just so used to you, like, opening it well. She doesn't even think that it's hard for you to do.
Yeah, no, I get it.
After cracking the world's most difficult
Yeah,
save.
I got a 19 under 48. Just
thank you.
Pop it open with ease.
I don't even look at it. I just open it for her and walk away.
There's a, you open up the drawer and there's a revolver inside. Ooh. With a bunch of cartridges.
Oh, come back, Carter.
Yeah.
You needed a...
You need
I'll take it. My handgun skill is not great, but I'll take it. It looks expensive.
You should practice.
Oh, yeah.
Does it look expensive? Like, is it, like, what kind of a gun? Like, is it just your... Is it, like, a special gun? Or is it, like, a...
I will tell you the gun. It's a small handgun. I'll tell you what the exact make and model is.
Okay. I didn't know if it, like, was... Had like the Pan Viper, like etched.
Right, yeah, no, it's all handled with the etching. Yeah.
There's also like a small bottle of brown liquor.
I'm taking that too.
We could use it, yes.
After the night we've had.
Yeah. Okay.
Well, there is still the factory, right?
Yeah.
The other we building we didn't even look into.
So Troy, this building, like where all the tarps had originally been that had covered up the work benches and stuff, there's still equipment in here, or is it we have the sense that most of the stuff is being made in the other building?
No, it seems like everything is being created here. The other building,
there are molds. They were talking about molds that they were using to like. The guy when we were talking, somebody let it slip either at the bar.
Like, yeah, I'm the mold maker.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So are those in this building?
Because
I want to smash the shit out of them.
Yeah, no, there are no molds in this building, so it must be
okay,
in the other
I want to total it, guys. Here's the thing. We're taking these blueprints. I feel like the more we slow down whatever these guys are doing, the better. They don't have blueprints. They don't know how to put this shit together. Let's take that stuff. Whenever we find anything that makes these things, we destroy them.
All right.
Like, let's slow this shit down.
Do you want to set this on fire, too, while we're at it?
It's not a bad idea, but maybe that's too much.
No, let's go big or go home. That we were here.
We've already attempted, murdered, theft. How about arson? We're just little trifecta.
Here.
This is wild. Can you imagine what it's going to be like at 9 a.m. tomorrow morning?
Well, we don't know whenever they're clearly beefed up their security. I think time's still at the essence.
Yeah.
Can't let the guard down. I'd love to see what's in that other building.
Yeah, let's just get some light sabotage and then steal some of the stuff.
Burn it down.
Yeah. Oh yeah.
Burn it down. All right,
so can we walk across the courtyard to the other building?
You slip out
keys to...
of the workshop. You don't even need the keys because the door is wide open from where the guy came running out.
Ah.
The nice. Guy who is now dead. It's actually the dead one that was in this building. You walk inside of the second building, which I did refer to as a shed, not to be confused with the small wooden like gardening shed in the back. It's a big open plan building. There are two large industrial ovens and a furnace, sort of like as the star of the room. Along with various workbenches, stacks of coke, coal, and wood, sacks of sawdust, piles of iron, steel, and copper, wooden crates, a water trough, barrels of plaster, all manner of tools. So the molding of whatnot is done in this room. You do see molds and whatnot. They must be using the furnace to like melt down metals that is then transported over to the workshop to be turned into whatever those devices and components were.
Do any of the tools look ancient? Like part, you know how like when the things that we found were like a mix. Are there any like weird tools that like would be also don't fit into this like what we consider at that time modern?
All the tools you see are as normal and modern as can be.
Okay.
Yeah.
Just curious.
Is there anything that seemed out of the ordinary?
Yeah. out of the ordinary?
Out of the ordinary?
Give me a spot hidden.
Right.
You can all roll that. Just looking around.
Regular success for me.
Hard success.
You find more of those labels for the Randolph Shipping Company, but nothing else out of place. You do find a small little note that says, "Honey, I have to work late tonight, but put the kids to bed, and I'll see you when I come home in the
morning. I promise I'm not dying tonight.
I love you so much."
I'm rolling sanity for that.
I want us to renew our vows.
Don't show Desmond his vows. Put us away.
I know I've been working late nights, and I haven't been the best husband, but I love you.
I love having a whole brain.
Now that they've found a cure for my incurable disease, I can't wait to live forever with you.
Crumple it up. Well, that's not happening.
Yeah. I've got hard success on my self-imposed sanity roll, so Desmond's taking it like a champ.
I feel like this makes sense. Whatever they're doing here is they're making pieces and shipping them off. And that's where it might end here.
So Gavagan is importing or finding these ancient designs, sending them to the mold makers and the factory floor here to fabricate ancient relics and parts, but using contemporary manufacturing practices, then shipping them to Australia.
Mm-hmm. Yes, to be made. I mean, it makes sense. You only want to ship small parts if you're going to ship anything.
What in God's name is he building down there?
I don't know.
Maybe we can get somebody to look at the schematics we found.
You can look at the schematics and maybe a keener eye at these.
Didn't he say that there was one more shipment going to be loaded onto that cargo ship?
That's right.
To Chowdhury?
Yeah, do we want to break in there too?
I was thinking we all just get in a crate and have it delivered.
Make sure to bore holes in the side.
Yeah, old Trojan crate.
Yep.
Yeah.
Especially since these workmen here, those ones that don't have their skulls caved in, could identify the lot of us.
Now, do you live in London, Desmond? Is that your
If I work for the
home?
Scoop, then yeah.
Yeah, you have a flat somewhere in London, so you would know the Limehouse Docks. They're in London, and it is one of the seediest areas in town. It's a rough area. Saloons, lots of sailors, lots of warehouses. It's not a place for the faint of heart. You've heard, plenty of stories have come across the Scoop's desk of, like, just people getting murdered and washing up on the banks of the Thames, and having it all lead back to Limehouse. And even the cops are just like, what happens in Limehouse stays in Limehouse.
Is that where Jack the Ripper was Limehouse?
You know,
oh no, that was Whitechapel or something like that. Thanks from hell.
That's a place a rougher sort hangs out there. Be a gin-soaked lot that.
They sound great.
Pick your pocket soon as look at you.
Yeah, it's my kind of people. Okay, here's my only other thought.
Opium dens.
Besides trashing some shit right now, is it worth, before we go, should we try to wake up one of those guys and, like, get some extra intel out of them? You know, the guy that was like, "You don't know what you're up against." It's like, well, maybe you could tell us what we're up against.
I don't think they knew what I don't think they knew what they were building in here, but they would know maybe it's who is in charge of all of this.
Mm-hmm. Although I guess we do too, if we know it's
Seems as though we can trace it all back to Gavagan.
Yeah. I think we're still assuming that. I don't think we have, like, a smoking gun here.
Well, he owns this place, apparently.
Found the ownership and we got his correspondence sitting on the desk of Mr. Marshall.
But he's making things and sending it to Australia. We don't know what it is.
It may be that these workers here don't even know the full scope of what they're building. It's the division of labor. That's how the bosses keep you ignorant.
Uh-huh.
Exactly.
My guess is that if this is all top secret and it needs to be hidden in such a gargantuan safe, and security patrolling nonstop. My guess is that the bigger the secret, the less people would know about it. So I highly doubt that common workers would have any idea what this was.
Seems okay. That if we want to see the next link in a chain, you'd either go back to the Penhu, to the little spot where you claim that you broke into, or we go see this Chaudhry character and see where the shipments go off on Limehouse Docks and maybe see what's in these crates like.
Right.
Well, I would think they're whatever we just found, right? I mean, if this place, we know this place is a direct line to the docks, but then ship it out to Australia.
But at least maybe we'd be able to find out where exactly in Australia they're being shipped to.
Well, we've got the label.
Port Durban, yeah?
Is that what, did we get the exact location?
I left my notebook upstairs, but yes.
Port Darwin, yeah.
Darwin, that's
it. Port Durban.
Port Durban.
Sometimes the accent makes things a little... Pronounce things different ways.
I just feel like we...
You never guess how Siobhan is spelled.
I just feel like we are assuming that there is nefarious stuff here going on because of our experience, but we don't have any hard evidence of exactly what the Penhu Foundation is doing.
No, and you still don't have a clear sense, based on what you said, of what this truckload of...
Oh, right.
Like, expats... Right.
Yes.
All the people.
What happens to
them? Which I forgot about the people.
Soon.
Oh,
that's coming up.
Coming?
And while we have no absolute proof that this is nefarious, everything that we've come across and encountered in this entire investigation from start to finish has tried to kill us. So
yeah, if it's nefarious.
I just want to point something out to you because I know that you may not remember everything, but when Margot and Carter... were in that secret room underneath the Penhu Foundation. You found that receipt for goods and services, including deliveries to Henson Manufacturing Derby for wooden coal, iron ingots, copper wiring, and expensive cast iron safe. You found a receipt from Ferris & Sons for the 6-month hire of a truck, and a letter from a Mr. Puneet Chowdhury of Ropemaker Fields Limehouse relating to the warehousing and shipment of sundry antiquities to Shanghai aboard a ship called the Ivory Wind.
Yeah.
Oh, right.
So Shanghai's connected as well.
So they're shipping it to Australia and China.
Well, let's burn this fucker down.
Yeah, we might just have to wing it, and when everything comes to a head, we just shoot until we get the answers.
I mean, it's not like we're taking this to a court of law to begin with. I don't think we have to worry about the ways we got this evidence.
Slice it
so
up.
So, you want to take... Are we taking components and
we're taking
blueprints?
We're taking blueprints, yeah.
And we're smashing... Is there a sledgehammer? Carter just wants to really start going to town.
Yeah, you could really, you know... Destroy as much stuff as you want, really leave your mark, and then are you going to burn it down? Like douse these buildings in gasoline and light a match and walk out?
Hold on.
Like a Michael Bay film.
Is there a way? I don't know if this is just going to be role dependent or what, but like, can we comfortably light these buildings up without starting a fire in the entire town?
Right, without burning the town down? Yeah, I think it's possible.
It'd be so cool to light it up and then have a scene of us walking away from it slowly.
Well, obviously we're doing that. I just want to make sure that other people won't die because of it.
Yeah, I mean, the walls are pretty contained. Yeah, it is definitely going to be a scene, but I don't think you have to worry too much about the fire not being contained.
Right, let's burn it.
I don't think we can stay in the town after we burn this place
down. That's probably a good call. We should probably
more spending the night. We got to get out.
We
got to
go fast now.
And this lot have seen us, so there's a chance that they may not be able to go to the authorities if they truly want to keep it secret. But we've shown our faces to them. So if this is a wide-ranging conspiracy, then they're getting to know us all the more.
Yeah, and we might want to give your uncle a heads up. Is there a way to track phone numbers down? Do you think they could figure out that number... I guess, did you hand them a written phone number for them to call for that cover story?
I gave them the number of the scoop.
Yeah.
Okay.
Can you track down addresses with phone numbers in the 20s? Is that what you're asking?
Let's say no.
What address are you trying to link to a phone number?
I was worried that they would like, well, what was the number we called? You know, if we know that they were not from the safe company because they came and they killed one of us and they burnt the whole fucking place down.
Yeah, I mean, you pretty much have to kill those other two guys.
Oh, no. Wait, whoa, whoa.
They've seen you. So you just gotta, like, burn them alive in there.
Oh, my God.
They've seen you. Like, they're the only ones that know that the two guys that came to inspect the safe are thieves.
That is true. They did recognize us.
But I don't know if there's a way for them to find where we are after this. That was I was asking if you, like, handed them the phone number or if you just told them, call this number, and you were, like, repeated it, and they called.
I don't think you have to worry about them.
I don't think we got to worry about
them. Then we don't have to worry about them fucking seeing us. Who cares?
Just have to worry about them passing our descriptions of us up their network.
Yes.
Next time you go to Penhu, if Gavigan is truly connected to this, then he'll know exactly what you are and where you've been.
And maybe if we want that, maybe that's good.
And Carter, you are very recognizable.
I don't know what you're talking about.
you guys tell me whatever you want to do. It's your game. You can burn it down. You can let them live. You can leave them there to burn alive. You can drag them out onto the street.
We leave them in the shed. We don't burn the shed. We burn the other buildings. We walk out in slow motion.
Okay.
Everybody. Well, they did have acid. Were there any other flammable materials?
Oh, yeah. There's plenty of flammable material. You can dump it all over. And light a match and walk away. And you just see from like a helicopter view the shed and the warehouse just ablaze with the tiny little gardening shed in the back with two living unconscious men tied to a dead body. The perfect crime.
Now, you guys are out of there. Do you want to try and catch? I mean, I don't know what the train schedules are. Let's presume that trains, if they don't run all night, you could just go hang out at the train station and grab the first train back to London. Or do you want to try and get a hotel? Or do you want to just get the fuck out of here and deal with sleep later?
We should
get
out of town.
I feel bad for that painted lady that we were staying with, but let's get out of here.
Yeah.
All right, so you head back to the Derby train station across town. It's a long walk, but it's probably the best thing to do. Walk all the way back there. You see the next train isn't coming for like 2 hours. So you're just sitting in this train station. Every time someone walks by, just maybe hang your heads low. At one point, you see two police officers come into the train station. And just kind of looking around. They walk in your direction. And they go off in another direction. And then after a couple hours, train to London pulls in. You guys hop on the train. You get into London at 5:45 a.m. Where do you want to go? You don't heal because you didn't sleep. Now you could go check into a hotel right now and sleep and start the day later. Take the whole day off. Let me look at where we are on the calendar here. So Thursday, it was Thursday, February 12th, so now it's the morning of Friday the 13th.
Ooh.
Friday, February 13th, your ninth day in England. Desmond is back home.
Well, I don't know if you lot got a room at the inn. I've got my flat, which it'd be tight sleeping for all four of us, but I'd find a way.
Yeah, we can't go back to where we were staying just in case we get tracked. Plus, we can't afford it.
We should lay low.
Yeah, let's go back to your pad.
Well, I suppose I can put some blankets on the floor.
The upside is they have no way of tracking us. Tracking our whereabouts. we're not pushed.
Let's hope so.
Let's keep low profile for now, yeah. And I take you to, you know, print journalism at the best of times, not the most remunerative career. So you're up to a third full floor flat, and oh yeah, it's packed with papers. It's just like, and so many, and it's just like tons of his own printed
his zines.
Texts of like his workers' party zines. He's got lots of Marxist pamphlets and books and posters.
I just threw up the map of London here. If you can see it on the VTT, St. Pancras Station is number 3. So I think you come into St. Pancras. That's up in the northwest quadrant there. And then you'll see the scoop is, oddly enough, lucky number 13. And that's just north of the Thames, right in the center of the map. Where do you think you live, Desmond?
I don't know enough about like the relative character of London neighborhoods at this
Buckingham
time.
Buckingham Palace.
You live in Buckingham Palace. I don't know much about London, but I would say probably in Buckingham Palace.
London Bridge.
There's a tower there, right? A London Tower. Yeah. Tower of London. Seems like a high rise.
Maybe you say you think you live near the scoop, or do you like to be a little away from
Let's say
from
I live near the scoop. Maybe there's a maybe even in a building that adjoins my uncle's place. Maybe nearby there, somewhere in the neighborhood of the scoop.
Okay.
Right near the public records office as well.
Yes, right near the public records office and the Royal Courts of Justice.
Let's stay away from there.
All right, so
is there a brunch place?
You say in that general area. I can't think. I don't know what that area is called. But anyways, you live in that area. So you guys will have to take a taxi or something. And you get over there, arriving outside of your building after the sun has come up, say 7:10 in the morning. People are starting to get out and head to their factory jobs. The middle class commingling with the upper class as you escort everyone to your modest flat. It's posters of girls leaning on Corvettes. On the wall. It's like a college dorm. Are you going to just like give everybody sheets and have them like everybody sleep? You must all be exhausted, and some of you are heavily injured.
Very much so. I've got one bed, maybe like a little couch in a sitting area. I could pull cushions off the bed, or if somebody wants it. Not much in the way of creature comforts here. And this might be a bed sit. This might just be a one-roomer. And with a washroom down the hall that's shared by the whole, like...
Oh, forget it, then.
Floor.
Wow. That's wow. The worst. Time's changed.
Gosh, damn it.
Yes, I live here.
So Carter beautiful. Needs a full standing bathtub wherever
is there? Where's the bidet at?
Do you have a bar?
I'm terribly sorry. This isn't the Waldorf Astoria, Versailles. I don't know what you're used to in your travels around the world.
The Waldorf Astoria. You're telling me there's no concierge.
I'm afraid you're looking at him, Mr. Brown. Can I get you a cup of tea? That's about all I can offer.
Oh, that would be great, actually.
I'll put a kettle on. You like sardines? He's like opening some tinned fish.
Could go for a scone. Oh, that sounds amazing.
All right, so you guys just pass out on the floor of this tiny little apartment. I mean, you're so exhausted, as uncomfortable as it is. I would imagine you all pass out pretty quickly, sleep 6, 7, 8 hours. Now it's, closer to the middle of the day. You wake up in the afternoon of Friday the 13th. Tuesday is the full moon. In what few leads you have left, you know that on the night of the full moon, a truck seems to come to the Blue Pyramid Club, gather up a bunch of people, and drive off into the country. So there's something there. You know that Gavigan is involved with something that's going on here. You know he's got a secret room, but you still don't really know what's going on. You know that Inspector Barrington said that You know, he trailed Zara Shafiq from Empire Spices and seemed like she might have been not telling the truth, but she came to clean and he pulled his detail off of her. Margot and Carter met her. She seemed on the up and up. There's something going on here. Is there a brotherhood? Who's involved? Now you see that there's something going on at the Limehouse docks. The Ivory Wind has a shipment. Is it going to China? Is it going to Australia? What is this shipment? What is going on? What is your plan for Friday the 13th?
I honestly thought you were going to say see you next week. So,
didn't really have an answer about it.
It's good. If you give me a plan, then I know what to prep.
Yeah, and just...
Oh, well, it's not in that 196 pages?
It's there somewhere. And, let's go back to Eagles Grange. Son of a bitch!
But Carter, we could bring them to the basements of the Pentu Foundation again, or see what else we can get into there. There's more rooms.
We could also track Gavigan down to his place.
Yes.
And fucking...
murder him.
Just Zara Shafiq seems so clean, you could track her. See what she gets up to in her off hours.
Mm-hmm. Should we split up and track? Because we're just watching, and we're not going to do anything else.
Uh-huh. We could follow.
And if we go multiple places, that's more work for Troy, so that's fun.
Just have him prep everything. We don't know what he wants to do.
I'm ready. It's 5 apps left after this.
I'm intrigued by the docks. Mm-hmm. Just seeing that's like the one place we haven't kind of probed. Yeah. And also trying to get something on Zara Shafiq, who is too innocent by half.
Yeah.
Although she might be tied to these people coming on the...
Getting we should probably start to figure that out because we only have a few days before.
Mm-hmm.
Are we going back to the Penhu? Because I'm curious about that, to be honest.
As in, back to their secret
you
want to
see the basement?
Chamber?
Yeah, I feel like Feyruz would be helpful down there, but is there anything else we can also get out of that? Besides just repeating?
I don't know.
Right.
That's what I'm wondering.
But the docs I'm very curious about.
Because we don't have a lot of time.
Yeah.
Also, I don't know if it's worth... I keep forgetting that we have two separate license plates that we've seen. Margot saw one that drove away that was watching us, and I saw the one that drove away from us in... whatchamacallit? From the Laughing Horse.
Right.
So... I don't know who those people are. They're two different ones. So I don't know. Go to the London DMV.
Well, maybe the Hall of Records.
Yeah, the Hall of Records, something. And find out who's watching us.
Well, maybe
that's really bugging
for
Carter.
Not all of us are very sneaky. Maybe someone can tail one person, another person could tail... another person, and then someone can go to the Hall of Records.
Well, if you want to put a tail on Miss Shafiq, I've not interviewed her, so I'm an unknown quantity as far as she's concerned.
All right, she thinks we're restaurateurs.
Right, she's seen us before, hasn't she?
So I could follow her.
She's seen you guys.
Not you. You were fumbling around over a fence behind her.
That's right. That's right. That's right. That's what's unfortunate.
And then, I mean, this limp is going away. I'm a little sneaky, too. Maybe I can tail Gavigan.
You talking about a classic Mystery Squad split up?
I mean, I'm terrified of...
Are we doing a two-way split or a four-way split?
I don't know. Do we want to go to the Hall of Records also? How many... Birds
I feel like
we
the
want
Hall of Records might be like a nice daytime. I don't think that should take very long.
Yeah.
And also, we do know that nobody's trying to kill us there because that's just a Hall of Records. It's not.
Mm-hmm.
Unless those records are the Eldritch Signs of Horror! yeah, I think it makes...
That could be a little
pit
stop on the way, too.
Yeah, I think Dez on Shafiq is great.
Yes, I do like that.
Right on.
and then Hall of Records into...
Maybe.
Did you say tailing
when
Gavigan?
When we split up, we could, you could, Desmond off to Shafiq. We could do a quick stop at the Hall of Records and then perhaps, both the Penhue Foundation and the docks, I feel like should be a nighttime activity.
Well, the docks is whether or not we wanted to actually like talk to Chattery and try to figure out anything from him. So that feels, I'm wondering
that
if that's.
That could be a daytime.
Yeah.
And then maybe reconvene at the Penhue Foundation, perhaps?
Mm-hmm. Or Tailing Gavigan, too, is also...
Tailing Gavigan. I do think Tailing Gavigan would be important.
Also, maybe tailing people during the day is useful.
Yeah.
Oh, you know, that would be... I mean, if we're tailing somebody, that would be the time to do it. Otherwise, right, they're at home resting.
Check these license plates, along with any other information you may want to look up. You've gathered some stuff at the Hall of Records. Maybe find somebody who knows something about mechanical repair that you trust to look over those photos. Maybe Desmond has to ask his uncle for some help in that respect.
Yeah, Feyruz might check to see who that guy in her mom's diary was, if he's listed there.
Oh, yeah.
Perhaps. Emil, her... Perhaps lover. Was it Emil, I believe?
Yeah.
And send Desmond over to do some recon on Zara Shafiq while you do some daytime recon and tailing Edward Gavigan. You are back in London. 5 episodes left. Tuesday is a full moon. We'll see you next week.
How?
What if it was 21 happen? Episodes? I mean, I feel like that's still a cool number.
Pretty cool. It's pretty cool.
It's time to make your membership official. Become an official member of the NAISH today at jointhenaish.com. That's jointhenaish.com, where you'll get access to exclusive podcasts and live streams you can't find anywhere else. See what everybody's talking about and join the NAISH today at jointhenaish.com.